I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
But I truly do think if we can learn Puff Daddy to P. Diddy to Sean Combs,
yes,
I really think we can do the pronouns thing. I truly do.
Absolutely. If we can go from Snoop Dogg to Snoop Lion back to Snoop Dogg, we should be able to do pronouns.
I know we're capable as a culture.
I'm dyking out, you're dyking out. Let's dyke out together. See what it's all about.
Dyking out!
Hi, and welcome to Dyking Out, a podcast that has our family members getting a little too comfortable with the word dyke. I'm Carolyn Bergier.
I'm Melody Kamali.
And today we are dyking out with comedian and performance artist Gara Lawning about being non-binary. Gara is the co-host of the podcast We're Having Gay Sex, along with past guest Ashley Gavin. And they performed on one of our last Stonewall shows before comedy went full Zoom. Gara, it's so great to catch up and have you here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Hey.
Hi. It's so funny, the show I was on before we went full Zoom, my twin, who famously, we're like weird estranged right now, but like he had known someone who was at that show, and they were like, I went to this amazing comedy show. Do you know Gara Lawning? And he was like, Gara Lawning, that's my twin. So just a funny little anecdote about that. Gable, if you're listening.
That's crazy.
Hi. Yeah.
Gara, we were on a show together just before everything shut down, I remember too. And we had met, all I remember is the host had this bit where they were sitting in a UPS box while they hosted it. Do you remember this?
Oh my God,
terrible
you were there. Oh my God.
And you were the first comic up and you're like, are you really gonna, this host sat in a big cardboard box and the whole thing, the theme of the show was shipping, as in like the term I shipped this couple. I don't know. Right, but they fully sat in a cardboard box for the whole show. And Gara went up and was like,
to the bit.
Are you seriously going to do this?
Yes.
Fine.
Yes.
How much time do I have? 5 minutes? To pretend you're not in this box next week?
Right. I like gave them like 5 outs. I was like, you could get out now and no one would care. And they committed.
Yeah.
I can't believe you were there. Remembering comedy shows? I mean, like, remembering comedy shows in normal times, but now remembering comedy shows, like, back when it's, like, when we went to war together, like, where I was like, remember that time when, she was in a box? And I'm like, yes! yeah.
What else has been going on with you, Gara?
Nothing much. Like I said, I moved a couple blocks, which in New York, you would think it would make it easier to move a couple blocks, but moving a couple blocks is still hundreds of dollars, just so much work. But yeah, move.
Right.
And in a pandemic, it's like even fucking crazier.
And when everybody's moving, either to get out of the city or to get cheaper rent. So all the moving companies I hear are turning down people. And then it's like, well, what do you do if all the U-Hauls are taken and then the moving companies are all booked and you have to move?
Well, I'm lucky because I have a dad who owns a Honda Civic. And if you guys, if anyone out there has a father with a Honda Civic, a Swiss Army man, the man can do anything. He just like, he shows up, he lifts everything on his back. He's like, oh, I don't need help. And he just like launches it into the car. Honestly, my lesbian side, I think, is... it comes from my father, so thank God. The moving side of me is from Greg.
There could be something to that. My father also had a Honda Civic, so yes. That's probably why we're gay.
Yeah, that actually is why. Love a Honda Civic.
Yeah. Melody, your dad, Mr. Kamali, no Honda Civic?
No Honda Civic. I don't even remember. At one point, there was a Jetta. How gay...
okay.
Is that?
I think Jettas are...
I don't know what that is. What is that?
A Volkswagen.
Oh, hell yeah.
And then I had a 96 Volkswagen that I drove when I was in high school in like 2006. Yes. And it was like broke down. I thought I had to name it a German name. It was named Brunhilde.
Yes!
Shout out to our German listeners. Is that a good one? But yeah, I don't know. I feel like my mom had the Butch car. We had a Dodge Caravan, that maroon one. Not with the wooden panel running through it, but, you know, that like purpley old dyke of a car. Sturdy. Yeah.
I don't know. That sounds like it looks more like an eggplant emoji.
That is true. But the moms who drove that car fucked. Like, I'm thinking about
on top.
Like the moms that I knew, and like they pull up, I was like, that girl fucks. Good for her.
Well, glad you're all moved in and that you survived that process. It's a very stressful thing. And you're looking great. I know our listeners can't see you right now, but dress real profesh for this recording.
Thanks.
And,
I got up like it was my wedding day. I was like, I'm not decking out. Like, I told my boyfriend, I was like, the day has come. And he's like, okay.
What's going on in the world this week that's queer?
Literally the only thing I'm aware of is Niecy Nash.
Me too.
But.
Oh, yeah.
That was big. Everybody was tweeting about it, and then I embarrassingly felt like a old, clueless person that was like, I kind of know who, I couldn't.
Well, she looks very different.
Okay.
Than what she looked like. Like, I don't know. Millennials especially will appreciate, like, Reno 911. She was on this kind of hoarders show on TLC where she would scream at crazy people to clean up their house.
Oh my God.
She's very funny. She was married
to the original Billy on the Street.
Truly.
But Billy in
your
the house.
Home. Yeah.
Yeah.
In Elena's house. If you know who Elena is from Billy on the Street.
Shout out to Elena. I hope Elena listens to Dyking Out.
Wow. That was a big cut. I appreciated that.
Yeah. I love that show. I know a lot of lesbians don't like Billy, probably just because of that one clip of him just going, come on, lesbians!
Let's go, lesbians!
Let's go, lesbians!
I thought a lot of us embraced us.
I think it's so funny.
Oh, yeah, that's like an anthem.
That's
if you're on TikTok...
a go-to gif.
on TikTok, just so many, like... young little Zoomers are using that audio. So I think the Zoomers are embracing Billie
good.
On the street. Yeah.
But Niecy Nash, she was married to a man for 8 years and their divorce finalized in March. And she was married to two men, one before that. And I think she had taken his name. And so then she married Jay Tucker, who she was married to for 8 years. And they... announced they were going to get divorced last October. They finally, like, it was official in March, and then she's immediately married to this very sexy musician, lesbian, Carol Betts. And, wait, is that her name?
No. Carol is Niecy's name.
I know. That's what I was like, why did I just say Carol? It's Stephanie or something.
Because a lot of queer couples have the same names. That's why.
That's true. That is true. I babysat two girls whose moms both names were Jen. Neither of the Jens would cave and go by Jennifer. So is a trope, surprisingly enough.
I can't believe I just did that, though I can. Jessica Betts. And their voting hashtag was all bets are off with two T's.
Oh,
bets.
Of course.
But I did some sleuthing and saw that she had gotten divorced from Jay Tucker. And the rumor back then was that she had like gotten too hot, essentially. The tabloids were like, he's upset. She's getting too glamorous. She has a whole new body because she had just joined on to that TNT show Claws that she's on. Yeah. And it did get like a lot of critical acclaim. And she definitely had a glow up with it as there was a lot more attention on her. And if you do some scrolling on her or Jessica's Instagram, you can see there's videos of them together in 2016. So I think her marriage didn't fall apart because she was getting too hot. I think it's because she was a big old dyke. And I don't know. What a surprise. It feels like the only good thing that happened to us.
Yeah.
All of us.
Right.
In quarantine.
Well, I was reading the
surprise gay wedding
out.com article about it. And then I was surprised to learn that DeBrat is also queer. I didn't know that, but that was a thing.
Really? That's something I didn't know, but felt.
Who is that?
So DeBrat was a rapper, or I mean, is a rapper, I guess. I don't really keep track of DeBrat's life other than I know that she's been to prison twice. Or no, she's been arrested twice. I think she only went to prison once, but both times it was for assaulting people with a bottle of rum, which I want to say is no laughing matter, but the fact that you got caught twice assaulting people with a bottle of rum. but they were featured on a lot of, like, they were in that Moulin Rouge Ladies Night remix. It was just, like, a lot of songs that were featuring DeBrat, like Missy Elliott featuring DeBrat. And just a lot of MTV, VMA featuring for DeBrat. And, in the article just mentioned, I guess because DeBrat is also Black and people were surprised that they were queer. No, I think the article was talking about people who like kept their sexuality secret somewhat until they came out as married.
Or what about Missy Elliott? What's the deal with Missy Elliott? Still not getting that information from her. Oh, this ties into Missy Elliott because Jessica Betts, who Niecy Nash married, was on a 2000s like reality competition show hosted by Missy Elliott.
Love it.
About it was called like The Road to Stardom, and she won.
I'm not gonna lie, you guys are talking about a lot of things and a lot of people that I'm like, no idea.
I know Niecy Nash is more like millennial.
You could have made this all up and like, okay, we're gonna like do this like thing with Garo where we just start like throwing out fake things and see if they know it. Like, no clue.
You're welcome. Now you know. Now you know about this.
I know now. DeBrat.
Totally useless information that will get you nowhere.
I know. We should have a new segment called Useless Gay Information that we do.
99% of it, I think, is useless. Well, let's talk about something, Gara, that I think you will know about. What's the gayest thing you did this week?
God, other than moving, that's pretty gay, but I did move in. I moved in with my two very close lesbian friends.
Okay.
And then my gay friend. And then my bisexual boyfriend. So we now live in a gay clout house.
Yes.
Nice. Do you know what a clout house is? Do you know or no?
I mean...
No, I really just took clout. The word clout and was like, yeah, they've got clout.
Yeah.
And they're all in a house.
Yeah. Yeah, we all have so much clout. No, but like a clout house like nowadays is like on like YouTube and TikTok when like a bunch of like creators will get together and live in a house so they can like be constantly making stuff all the time.
Like the hype house?
Yeah, like a hype house. Yeah, like okay. Old house. Yeah.
It's okay, like a clout house. Okay, see, we're teaching you. You're teaching us.
Yeah. This is amazing.
So it's a trap house for social media. Is that?
Yes. Yes.
No,
a trap home, if you will.
They have their own kind of celebrity world and news, these like TikTok creator houses.
Yeah.
Like there's the Shade Room online. And I've seen that there's like a specifically like TikTok creator Shade Room that just like churns out all the gossip happening between these kids.
Yeah. It's
robust
nuts.
World.
And they're all so huge. Like, it's funny, like, I'll go and, like, look at, like, Tom Hanks on Instagram, which I don't know how many followers Tom Hanks has. Let's just say he has, like, 5 million followers on Instagram. And these, like, creators who just got big will have, like 50 million followers. And it's I don't even know. This person could walk down the street and I'd just be like, oh, a very beautiful looking person with not 50 million followers. So
then cut to them making a video later that night. It's like, thank you guys so much for 57 billion.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're probably making so much money. I don't know. I was doing some very boring TikToking where I'm like, who are the big queer players on TikTok? Like very research oriented. And I saw like all the people I was looking at, all their posts were sponsored posts. And I'm like, how, even when all your posts become sponsored, like are people still in it for that if you're not doing as much, you know? But I get it. I mean, chase that money. I'm thinking these people are 17, 18 and probably making, you know, a million bucks in sponsorships.
Right.
That's not
right. And also,
don't go to college.
Yeah, I think
nobody should go to college.
Right. No one should. As someone who didn't go to college, I'm going to tell you guys, you shouldn't go to college. Yeah.
Wow, you're officially the smartest person who's done the podcast. You didn't go to college.
Yeah.
You didn't waste all that money.
Yeah, there we go. That's exactly what I think. I have no insecurity about it whatsoever. I feel great. I never feel like bad when people are going around and saying their colleges and then people are like Harvard and like Notre Dame and then I'm like I didn't go. And then you have to explain it and be like, but I'm fine. I'm doing great. Look at me. Look at my Instagram. I'm fine. And they're like, yeah.
Yeah.
You're fine.
I'd rather do that than explain the media art school I went to when we go around the table.
But see, I'm so dazzled by college because I didn't go. So like people would be like, yeah, I had like a major in like general business. I'll be like, that's really cool. I'll be like, it's really not. So you could say anything, and I love it.
Yeah, that's interesting, actually. I wasn't thinking about it in terms of really missing out on the college experience. But then how old were you when you moved to New York?
I was 18.
18, yeah. So that's like a whole experience in and of itself that I feel like you really, again, did not miss out on not going to college. I also think that not going to college is such a power move nowadays. Like 10 years ago, if you didn't go to college, everyone would have been like, ooh, well, good luck. People were a lot more snobby about it. And then fast forward to everybody being in just buried in debt that has crippled them. And, you know, coming out of the financial crisis. And now everybody's like, the smartest people don't go to college. They know what's up.
Well, the thing is I'm from the Midwest. So like still in the Midwest, it's like if you don't go to college, it's like very much you're looked at like you're out of your mind. But like, so like I would like talk to people back home and they'd be like, so what are you doing? I'm like, I'm just like working and trying to do comedy. And they're like, but what are you really doing? I'm like, working and trying to do comedy.
Living in a cloud house.
I don't know what to tell you. Yeah, I'm in a cloud house now, so like and subscribe.
Podcasting about gay sex.
Yeah, that too, which no one back home knows. I keep it very, like, under wraps, but, like, it's funny when people in the Midwest that I knew from a long time ago will message me and be like, hey, I listened to your podcast. I'm like, so like, you're gay.
Yeah.
And we'll just, like, talk back and forth, and they'll be like, yeah, I just thought it was really great. I'm like, so it's like, you know, you're, like, gay.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had a few of those people from high school being like, just want to know, wanted you to know I've listened to your podcast. Yeah. I'm like, so are you unofficially coming out to me? That's great. Right. Like, never right. mentioned.
Right.
Wait, where in the Midwest are you from?
I'm from Iowa.
Cool. I like that Quad Cities area, but that's all. And Des Moines. Yeah. Des Moines.
Oh,
where are you from in the
hell yeah. Quad Cities, Des Moines. I'm not from either, even close like, to those places. Well, it's funny. I'll be like, I'm from a small town, and people would be like, Des Moines. I'm like, no, imagine a place with about 40,000 less people. I mean, probably even more than that, 100,000 less people. It had like 8,000 people in the town. So like, very, very small right. town.
Yeah, you just heard me vomit, blurt out everything I knew to say about
yeah.
Iowa. He's like, oh, yeah, that writer's workshop. And yeah.
Kurt Vonnegut was there yeah. once.
First state to legalize gay marriage.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah.
You think they'd be cooler with it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
You really think they'd be cooler with it. But
really, it's just a lot of libertarians, right?
Right. Yeah. They're just like, well, I guess I don't want them in my business. So yeah, basically.
Melody, what's the gayest thing you did this week?
My girlfriend set up a Roth IRA. So if she dies, I'm her beneficiary.
Okay.
We set that up together at the beginning of this week, end of last week. And so if Allie passes, I get enough for a nice dinner and 1 month's rent. So that's pretty cool.
Well, here's hoping that never happens. Sorry, Melody. I don't want you to get that money.
I don't either. I asked Allie this morning. I was like, did I do anything gay this week? And she said that.
That is gay, though. That's like,
that's gay.
That's like mega yeah. gay. That's like gay sex. That's incredible.
Yeah, beneficiary level is so gay.
I'm counting it. I don't know what a Roth IRA is. it's like a retirement.
Didn't you go to college, Melody?
Yeah, I went to art school. Like, I'm telling you, I have $40,000 in debt, and I don't know what a Roth IRA is.
Well, I didn't go to college, and I didn't know what a Roth IRA is. And we've determined that I'm the smartest person in this room.
Yeah.
In this Zoom room.
For sure.
So,
do you want to know what? I actually, it's weird. Our phones listen to us maybe, and this is why. But after she did this, I went on TikTok and I just kept getting all these videos. They're like, here's everything you need to know about setting up a Roth IRA from like a 20-year-old who's like, invest in your retirement now. So easy. Like, and then I liked it. And now like I'm in
awesome.
Finance TikTok now, I guess.
Yes.
And like all my videos on my For You page are about retirement funds.
From I love that.
Children.
Yes.
You know, I am sick of Gen Z rubbing it in our faces how much they've learned from all of our mistakes. All right. Stop rubbing it in and making us feel like failures for focusing more on our Harry Potter houses and not enough on our financial solvency.
You're right. Yeah. Yeah, guys, lay off. To all my fellow Zoomers, lay off. Come on. Like, chill out.
I actually love it. I love
it. I know. We love it. And we love your TikTok.
Yeah.
Wow, thank you.
To our listeners, follow Gara's TikTok. It's pretty dancey.
A lot of dancing.
It is a lot of dancing. But it's so funny to dance make dance videos before TikTok, and then everyone told me to go on TikTok, and then I did, and then I realized I'm not that good. So it was like, see, to like normal people, they're like, that's pretty good, but like to like kids on TikTok, it's like, yeah, no. that's not that good at all. Sometimes I look at other Zoomers and I'm like, do you guys just like this as like a joke? Like, is this just like a joke to it? Because it's hard to tell with Zoomers. They will like things just for the irony of it. Like, sure. All of Millie Bobby Brown's existence at this point is because kids... you guys know about this, right? That they made this joke that she hates gay people, and she doesn't. And so Zoomers will, like, make TikToks about how Millie Bobby Brown hates gay people. And they're like, this is so funny. And people are like, you are going to ruin this girl's career. Like, for a generation of people that are so, like, you know, try to be woke and, like, allies, they literally, yeah, they're, like, single-handedly starting this rumor. It's fucked up.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, messed up.
I did see those rumors. I had no idea. Yeah.
It's not true. They are literally, ironically...
I'm
like,
so afraid
Millie
of
Bobby
Zoomers.
Brown.
Oh my god,
you
that's
should be.
Terrifying.
It is terrifying. Yeah, no, it's bad.
Well, Carolyn,
yeah,
what's the gayest thing you did this week?
Oh, thanks for asking. It might cancel out itself between the gayness and the not gayness of what I did. But last episode, I teased that I was in the market for a Honda Fit. Which is the new Subaru. Unless Subaru wants to sponsor us, then I take it back. But for now, the Honda Fit is the new Subaru. Got a lot of listeners saying, hey, I had a Honda Fit. I didn't realize it was gay. I'm like, every time you see a Honda Fit, check who's in the driver's seat. And it is a dyke. It's a dyke every time.
Why is it gay? What makes the Honda Fit?
It's got a lot of cargo space for a small vehicle. It's it's economical. It's dependable. But it has something called a magic seat, which one of our listeners say that they proposed to their wife in the magic seat, you know. But it folds down. It makes so much space when you fold down the seats.
To move in with each other?
Yeah, it's for moving in with each other. You know, you can do multiple moves just from one girlfriend to the next, and the Honda will hold up for all those moves. But in some homophobic turn of events, Honda has canceled the Honda Fit. They're no longer making them. So they're very hard to get. It's hard to get like a used Honda Fit or even a new one. And I was looking and trying to get one, and I failed at getting a Honda Fit. So I got a non-Honda Fit car. But the gay thing is we named it Sally Ride.
Hell yeah.
So that's the gayest thing I did this week was name my car Sally Ride.
You win.
Yeah. Yeah. Cecilia's taking it a little too far. She's really acting like the car is a person and seeing how far she can take it. So she's like, oh, so whenever it needs to be serviced, we can say we're taking Sally to the doctor. I'm like, or not. We can just still treat it like a car.
I don't know. She's not seeing many friends these days.
That's true. That's true. I'll let Cecilia have whatever she wants, man.
Wait, Sally Ride's still alive, right? She's still living?
No, I don't think so.
Sally Ride's dead? Am I finding out on this podcast that Sally Ride is dead?
Yeah, I think...
Yeah, she died in 2012.
Yeah, she...
No!
She died and then...
I don't know why I laughed when...
she died and then it came out after she was dead that she was gay, which, you know, most of us knew.
Yeah. It's a bummer that people are just coming out beyond the grave or at their wedding.
Sure.
It's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
We love Sally Ride. We purchased Sally Ride stamps, the commemorative stamps, when they were up for grabs, and that's what we used for any Dyking Out related mail. So, you know, just really supporting gay astronauts here at Dyking Out.
Well, what do you say we blast off into our topic then?
Oh my god, Melody, that's I perfect. Love it. You know the way to my heart. Is a pun-based transition. Oh, man, I'm getting emotional. I'm not kidding.
And let's take off to non-binary town.
Yes.
Gara.
I know. No, I was trying to think of another pun, and then I was like, oh, shit, that's you. I was like, okay, we're first step for non-binary, second, okay.
Hell
yeah. Honestly, I'm so excited to do this topic on Dyking Out because I feel like on my podcast, because we talk more about like gay sex.
Yeah.
And we don't really get into like, it's also like a very like loose kind of like comical podcast. So like, I'm not really getting into like the ins and outs of like NB-ism.
Yeah.
But yeah, excited to talk about it on here.
Can you explain non-binary to my mom?
Yeah. What's your mom's name?
Dorothy, but she goes by Dottie.
Good. Because in this conversation, I'm her close friend. And that's what I wanted. So what I'd probably do is like we sit across like a nice like table, probably like midday. Like, you know, that's how I like to do it. Coming out it to people and explaining it.
I think that's where I went wrong is I tried to explain this to my mom across a table at night.
Yep.
After she had some wine.
There
so you have to catch Dottie midday.
Got it.
To explain.
Got it.
Non-binary and they, them pronouns. But go ahead. I'm going to play this to her next time I see her.
Yeah. Okay. So we're sitting across the table. Lights up. Hey, Dottie. It's me, your non-binary friend, pansexual, trans, dyke Gara, and I'm here to explain non-binaryism to you. And usually at this point with like older people, you kind of just like ask them questions like, do you know, because like you can't just like go dive right in. So I feel like I'd be like, do you know what trans people are? And let's just say like Dottie's like, yes, I know. What I'm assuming she does know.
She knows.
Okay. So I'd be like, so we know what transgender is. So let's like imagine this little space where like transgender is a big spectrum. I love how I'm now talking to her like a preschooler, but really I'd be like drunk. She'd be drunk. We'd be like blasting Billy Joel and I'd be like, I'm coming out to you, Dottie, right now. Okay, listen up, Dottie. Now I'm bad cop. Listen up. It's a spectrum. It's a crazy spectrum. And honestly, you can fall anywhere on that spectrum. But it's also under the umbrella of transness, which I think is an important thing to mention when we talk about non-binaryism. Because I think a lot of people, it's hard to like tell, even if people identify as non-binary, sometimes people wouldn't identify as trans, which is why when I introduce myself, right, I make sure that people, I include, I'll say I'm trans non-binary, which is, I'm not going to lie, kind of just negates itself. like it's kind of just essentially the same thing, but it's basically falling on a spectrum and not identifying on a gender binary. And then Dottie's like, oh my God, like let's go to Kohl's. And then we go to Kohl's.
Dottie would want to go to Kohl's.
And Dottie is dressed in an amazing suit. And I'm in a suit. But then I'm like, Dottie, I can also wear a dress. And she'd be like, you look amazing in both of those things. And I'll be like, and it doesn't have to be a binary. And then we pass out watching Top Gun. And that's it.
Sounds fun.
I think Dottie's more confused now.
Good. Honestly. That's the point, to confuse them. That's why non-binary people exist. It's just to confuse people. So happy about it.
It's working because I'm not going to lie. As a cis person, I, of course, respect non-binary identities. They are valid. The more I read about them, the more confused I get.
Yeah.
Because I try to educate myself and there'll be things that seem like they contradict each other. And then I just come to the conclusion that everybody has their own experience with it and their own definition of it. So you can't think of it as something that is so tightly defined, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it's like a little bit more loose because I'll read one thing and I'll read another thing. I'm like, Wait a minute. I thought I knew.
Right. And I think, though, like, non-binary people feel the same way. Because, like, coming out, and as I talk to, like, listeners of the podcast or people who message me, it seems like non-binary people all have this, like, thread through them where it's like, am I non-binary? And it's like,
sure.
There's not really a part of you that's going to, like, be like, ding, you are non-binary.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd say we all have that as well.
Just like I have the, am I gay? Like, I think that's right. Normal. To question your identity.
Right.
How about your mom? How was that conversation?
I would say that conversation is pretty non-existent at this point. Okay. Which is why I felt so comfortable talking to Dottie, because Keely scares great. The living yeah, shit out of me.
As I said, how about, I was like, this could not be even a thing that happened.
I mean, like, do I seem like someone who has a good relationship with my mother? I have a fucking mullet. Like,
I mean, yeah, your hair looks too good to have a great relationship with your mom.
Right, exactly. I'm wearing a chain right now. So, no, Greg and Keely have not had that conversation yet. But a few weeks ago, I came out to my first sibling. So I have 5 siblings. And I
does that include the twin that you absorbed? Is that a real thing? Did you really absorb a fetus in the womb?
It is. What? Can you? Yes.
Okay.
Wait, what?
Caroline is referring to my stand-up where I talk about absorbing my triplet.
My triplet,
oh. Yeah. Because I have my twin is living. He is out in the world and living. Oh. He is not great right now. He's a 23-year-old boy, so he's making his way, but is currently in Denmark.
Cool.
So, just fucking around in Denmark. Gable, if you're listening to this, text me, but the one that that I absorbed is still inside me. And my favorite, my favorite triplet at this point. So
great.
Wow.
So that sibling is totally cool with your identity as a trans, non-binary, pansexual.
Yes, my triplet, human. My triplet is very cool with it, mostly because they are a part of it. For anyone out there that's like, is this a joke or is this like for
it's real?
Real
life.
It is real. I'm telling you, it is a true thing that happened. But anyway, what I was saying was, is I came out to one of my siblings, my older sister, who lives in Des Moines, and I came out to her a few weeks ago, like first sibling to willingly come out to, and I was so nervous for months.
Yeah.
Could not even begin to think about the vernacular and how I would explain this to her. Because I would say I am out to, in my personal life, maybe 5% of people. And then out to the world of gay sex, 100%. So,
right, because you're pretty queer. Like, you're pretty visible as a queer person in New York, on the internet, just a very queer presence.
Thank you.
We love it. Your sister, did she also not know that you were pansexual and...
Good question. She didn't know I was pan. She knew I was bi, which I essentially is the same thing. I'm not getting into the bisexual, pansexual argument. It's send me an email. Let's do a little email chain. Don't actually. I'm not giving you my email, but no. I came out to her. So I came out as a bi about like 5 years ago, and that when I came out as bi, I think was living like a very unhinged life where I was like, I don't give a fuck. Like. About my parents and what they think. So it was basically just me just like barging into like my family's like dinner and being like, I'm bisexual, and having them be like, okay. so she knew that. And then coming out as non-binary, I just didn't even know if she would even know what transgender was, like on an actual level, know what it was.
Yeah.
So that was something that I was trying to navigate leading up to talking to her. And finally, I like had talked about my very close friends who are both non-binary. And she had such an amazing response and was just like, you don't have to answer any of my questions, but I would love it if you did answer my question, which for people who don't know, I feel like the whole trans experience is based around people really asking questions when you don't have the capacity to answer them. And that's not how I feel all the time, but like I do get a lot of questions all the time about like, what bathroom do you use? Like, do you feel fine with long hair? Like, do you wear a binder all the time? Like, it's just like, it's too much. But so it was very kind of her to be like, to just know like, oh, this is my sister. I care for them. We say sister because she asked me if she could call me her nibbling. And I said, no.
Okay. Thank you. Because that's just something I'm still trying to wrap my head around.
Nibbling.
Yeah.
Zibbling. I like zibbling over nibbling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nibbling makes me feel a little weird and also hungry. I don't know.
Sure. Sure. And me as well. And no shade to anyone that actually uses it.
Right.
But I don't. I do not use it. And it was nice of my sister. I'm sure she was wanted to laugh out loud about it, like when she asked me, but was very much like, should I call you my nibbling? And I was like, please never.
Yeah.
Call me that.
So here's the thing. Like, I'll see things on Instagram that are like, here are ways to be a better ally to non-binary people. And it'll say, don't use words like mom and dad, use parent. And I'm kind of like, I don't think that's for you to tell me that I can't use the words mom and dad anymore. And I don't really think non-binary people care how I refer to my parents.
Right.
Like, as long as you're not making assumptions about people when you meet them or imposing labels on other people who don't identify with those labels, I think it's, I mean, I'm actually asking for your permission.
Yeah, no,
to keep
I was
saying,
like,
as the representation for all non-binary people,
no.
Like, can I still call Dottie mom? Is that,
hey, Dottie is,
or am I
Dottie?
Okay.
No,
Dottie
no,
is Dottie.
I am also not the judge for all other non-binary people, but I
well,
would
shoot.
Say
that's what we were hoping for.
Yeah, damn. Well, bye guys. I'm going to go,
yeah.
But no. I would say it is very hard to offend me. I say that with a grain of salt. People who message me, please. Like, people will, I will say that and people will be like, "Oh, great. So I'll just ask you this question." It's like, "Yeah, no. That's what I don't like." But I
right.
think I, from the non-binary people that I'm friends with and like non-binary
sure.
people that I've met and known, I think we are more concerned with being accepted and having people understand us, which takes
yeah.
a lot of like overcompensating to be like every non-binary or even trans person I meet is always so nice. So sweet and just like overly be like, whatever, that's fine, like you're okay, when it's like, no, we should be able to be like, you got that wrong, please correct yourself.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's something that I've also seen from a lot of people, especially as they're first coming out as non-binary, and it's like letting the pronoun thing slide for a long time and then realizing actually it's not cool.
Right.
And I've told you this and you keep saying this. So can you please not be an asshole?
Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly. And I feel like a lot of people think that they get like passes. People will be like, you know, I've known you for a long time, Gara, so you gotta understand, like, I'm just not gonna get it right. And it's like, I've known you for 6 months. And my older sister, who's known me for 23 years, went, I will most definitely try. And she tried, and she's doing it. So, like, don't
right.
come at me with the whole, like, I knew you when you were a girl. It was like, hey, I knew me when I was a girl, too. And I frankly,
yeah.
I hated her. So... No, I love Girl Gara, but we're much happier as NB Gara, I would say.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Let's talk about that journey. Like, how did you, when did you start? I don't know how it works. Is it that you were identifying less and less, or that you just realized you never really identified with being a woman?
Yeah. What's so funny of you saying woman, especially, is like, that's the word. I'm
that's
triggered.
The word.
No, that's, but like, that's the word that like, I would not allow anyone to call me that. Ever. Like, not once in my life would I ever.
That's funny, because I say that instead of girl as to not infantilize.
Right. I'm not, like, being like, how dare you? I'm just saying, no. Like, was a huge indication for
sure.
me. Because I hated the idea of me growing. It was the idea of me growing up into, God, I'm want to throw up even saying that word.
Don't say it. Don't say it. The W word.
But I hated the idea of even growing up as that. And then I would say over time, it was a lot of like, I went through a period where I overcorrected myself, which was like, I was wearing a lot of low cut tops and dresses and actual bows in my hair. And like, it was like doing that, like trying to push it as far as I could push it. I was hoping that it would make me feel better about it, or like feel like I fit into this. Honestly, at the time, I viewed it as like a persona. But I would say it wasn't until I started dating my current partner that I was able to actually realize that as you go through it, I think the more you just discover words, like meeting people and like,
sure,
you know, discovered pansexuality. I was like, oh my God, that's me. And then like discovering like non-binaryism. And then even like, also, I don't know if non-binaryism is the word. Does anyone know? Can you correct me? I have no idea.
Yeah, I actually don't.
Me either. So, listener, call in right now, because this is live.
555-DYKE.
But yeah, and then discovering the words that fit me most, because I view it now as a journey and kind of like an ever-changing thing, and less of a like, I'm going to put on this label and feel it wholeheartedly and be it, you know, to the ends of the earth. Yeah, and I think I bought my first binder like 3 years ago, which I think if anyone knew me growing up, the thing I hated most about myself was my boobs, which like everyone, like when I'd be at slumber parties and be like, ah, I just like hate my boobs. They grew very fast, very quickly. And then, like, all the girls would be like, are you kidding? I am so jealous. And I'd be like, you're right. I should love these jugs of things on my, these sacks of sand.
I should love how they feel when I run and jump. And
right. So I was like, I'll pretend to. And then when I bought my first binder, that was even more affirming of, like, I, you know, don't feel like a woman, as I'd say.
Yeah. I've noticed with people who are non-binary don't use the word woman a lot, or man. It's always like girl or boy. Like when Sarah Ramirez came out as non-binary.
Oh, yeah.
Recently said something in that Instagram caption that was like, in me is the capacity to be a girlish boy or a boyish girl or neither or all. Like, well, I don't know. I just noticed it's usually like, not woman or man.
Right.
Is that a thing?
I don't know. I'm just realizing it right now as well. And I'm like, why do we do this? I don't know. I think most of the time, like, just because of how I look, which is, listeners, I look like a little boy ghost. I look like a twink from, like, the 1920s.
Like, meets Mick Jagger at his prime.
Yes. Right. a twinkie Mick Jagger. I always, like, love riding this line of being, like, because when I'm dressed, like, very, as people would say, as you cis people would say, girly. when I'm dressed very girly, I feel like people are like, but are you non-binary now? And it's like, yes.
Yeah. Well, being non-binary has nothing to do with your appearance or your presentation.
Right. Exactly. And that took me a long time, especially, to understand that.
Right.
Because I spent a lot of time wearing ginormous button-down shirts and, like, cargo shorts. And
right.
Just trying to, like, be, again, like, overcorrecting and being like, this is what I want. Like, I want to be this thing, and then realizing I throw out all my dresses and in, like, a non-binary spiral, and now, god damn it, I miss my damn dresses. So I have to build up that rack again, but yeah.
So what does gender mean to you? And I know that that's a very big question.
I love it. I love gender and hate gender so much. It's such, like, a sexual relationship I have with gender, because some days you wish that everyone could acknowledge that, be like, okay, guys, like, this doesn't really exist, right? Like, this is pretty silly what we're all doing with gender right now. But then other days I'm like, god damn it, I want to look like a rollerblading, like, boy from the 90s. Like, I want to look like that kind of guy. Like, I want to wear a chain wallet and buzz my hair and talk to girls and be like, yo, what's up? Like, that's that's what I want. So it's very complicated.
When thinking about gender versus sex, and a lot of people say, well, yeah, sex is biological, and then gender is not at all related to sex. But for most people, gender is actually pretty closely related to sex. And that's why some people who are trans will undergo biological changes, or will change their anatomy and their biology and their hormone levels and whatever to affirm their gender.
Yeah. I would say, like, gender surgeries are more like gender affirming surgeries.
Yeah. I don't know, because I used to think, like, well, like, gender and sex are totally separate. But then when I was trying to think about what gender means to me personally, and obviously it's because I'm a cis person, I'm like, well, actually the two are very linked to me because right. my gender and how I identify as a woman has a lot to do with my anatomy and being just raised, you know, as being a girl turned woman and the experiences
really, that's,
I have.
That's what you'd call it. That's so yeah. interesting. I've never met a woman before. Beautiful.
There's a Britney Spears song about the in-between, you know, it's a spectrum.
Yes!
Not
yes!
Not a girl, not yet a woman. I think Britney was coming out as MB. Just kidding.
Yes. Wow, we would love a non-binary Britney Spears. That is what I want. Yeah, and what's so funny is I could never in my head feel proud to be what I was assigned at birth. It was just like something that I never felt attached to.
I feel like that's like the big difference is that for me, it feels like two peas in the pod. And for people who aren't cis, it feels like one pea is outside the pod.
right. Exactly.
I'm terrible at metaphors.
exactly. But I think I also want to say like women who identify as women, cis women who feel like proud to be women. I always look at them and I'm like, fuck yeah. Like I could never do that thing. Wow. It sounds like I'm being sarcastic. I am not. I'm being fully honest. Like my mom
had
kids.
Good for you and your ovaries.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, good for you, Keely. Way to go. But like, yeah, because like even, when I was, honestly, I think I identified more as a feminist than I would have, like, in high school. I was probably, like, I think I was covering up a lot of what I felt about, like, non-binaryism in, again, someone write me. Is that real? That word that I'm saying.
It is now.
I'm claiming it. But I feel like I use feminism as a way to cover up my own problems with gender.
Sure.
Which was, like, the time period I spent like trying to overcorrect. I felt like I was like, I should be proud of this thing. I should be invested in like being a woman, and then discovering I'm non-binary and being like, I can still be proud of these parts of me and not have to identify like on that spectrum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I would be non-binary if I was, is that weird to say? Born later. I just never had the, like, I had a lot of dysphoria with the boobs. Mine came in early. I always wanted to veer more like androgynous tomboy. I understand that androgyny is not necessary for a non-binary identity,
right.
But I just really wanted that. And because of my boobs, just eventually gave in to like the femme way.
Yeah.
I was like just working around them and felt so uncomfortable dressing the way I wanted to with like things that were impossible.
Yeah.
Like they were huge and would constrict them.
Yes.
And I didn't know about binders then.
Right.
So,
but these conversations,
that's how I feel about
everything. Yeah. Like these conversations with like cis people that about gender, I think are so important, and it should be like something that we just discuss like openly. Cause I don't think I experience gender like differently. I mean, like, look, guys, my nails are painted. I've got a chain. I have a mullet, but I don't experience gender differently than anyone else.
I also like to play with presentation. And for me, I guess the difference is that I just never felt like any less of my gender when I don't conform to it.
Yeah. Right.
Wearing a suit or wearing a strap or whatever it is, it never really negated my feelings necessarily about my gender. But then I think kind of like Melody, had I been younger and had non-binary been in the vernacular, and at the time I felt like I had a very hard time relating to my female friends, I wonder if I would have questioned it more, but then I realized that it was just because I was gay, and then it all made sense to me.
Totally.
Like any discomfort I had about why I just felt like we were on two different planets. I'm like, oh, it's because I'm gay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But you're also binary in your sexuality, too. You're just, I don't know.
Carolyn.
Yeah. I know. Fuck me.
Yeah. Just love that fucking binary, don't we?
Because, like, even I feel like I'm on a spectrum with everything.
Yeah.
I mean,
even though I'm not, I definitely think everything is such a spectrum and so fluid and...
Yeah.
Yeah. No, definitely. And I think that, like... the labels that I use are not exactly, like, I don't know if non-binary necessarily fits me exactly. My labels are mostly for other people to be able to affirm me and see me for, like, how I want to be seen. 'Cause yeah. I just get a lot of messages from young people that are like, how do you know? Like, how do I know if I'm bi? How do I know if I'm gay? And it's like,
right.
Honestly, I didn't want to go by they, them for a very long time. I held off for so long. And then finally, like, I think it was at the Dyke March 2 years ago. And I got so plastered with my non-binary friends. And we went to a party and my adorable non-binary friends were like, let's go around and say our pronouns. And like, everyone's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh my God. And so we're going around and I was like so drunk and it finally got to me. And I was like, my pronouns are they, them. And like my non-binary friends like looked at me and I was like, yeah, those are my pronouns. Everyone's like, okay. And then I spent the whole night being like just high off of like adrenaline and other things as well. Just being like, fuck yeah. Like this is my pronouns now. So it was a journey and it still is a journey to know sure. what labels I want to have.
Yeah.
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 It's all relatively new to non-binary people themselves and just like the general public. And we're going to have more and more celebrities coming out as non-binary. That's going to just, I don't know.
Right.
We just need more representation. And I feel like it's just an interesting time where we don't have a lot of the vocabulary to match a lot of the feelings, but we are getting like Janelle Monáe coming out as non-binary, right. Sam Smith, India Moore. And it's only
right.
going to get we're going to get more clarity. I looked in researching for the episode. I went on the reviews for We're Having Gay Sex. And there was a review that was like, I love this podcast. I'm learning so much from Gara about non-binary. Did you see that one?
And love it was like, this one.
It was like, she has taught me so much.
It's
not enough.
It was so funny. I think I laughed for 3 fucking hours.
But I think I took a screenshot of it to bring it up. I could not believe my ass.
Yes. Yes. But like,
because it seems so genuine. Like, right. Oh my God, right. I'm learning. And immediately.
Right.
Oh, trying.
Right. Yeah. But that's like the thing is going into situations and being like, should I tell them my pronouns? Should I not? Like, I am still on that journey. But the thing is like
sure.
a comment like that is so sweet. I don't mm-hmm. focus on the part that misgenders me. I'm just like, oh my fucking God, like she's trying, or I assume it's a she. See, even I'm like, yeah, well, I'm like they.
No, I'm gonna assume
yeah
she on that one. But maybe not for long. Like, you introduced the idea to this person who had no clue this was even really a thing, or yeah, they're only going to get more and more educated listening to you.
Right, so that's cool. Right. And I think a lot of listeners to the podcast, I think they sometimes think, especially Zoomers, like on the younger end, I think that they think that like if you misgender someone, it is like cancelable. Like you are fucking done. Like you have to try. And it's like, it does suck, but like, I just want to like let these people know of like my entire extended family misgenders me. Like when I go home, I am she, her, and it is so confusing to like yeah. walk into my house and be like, she, our daughter has a vagina. She's a woman. She's always been a woman. I'm like, what? Who are you talking about? But like,
yeah.
understand that like, I know the people that are trying, and I also know the people who aren't trying and
yeah,
who could care less, to be honest.
I think it's pretty easy to tell when someone's genuinely trying to get it wrong and it's not coming from a place of kindness or, you know,
right.
love. It's
yeah,
right. Right.
Definitely a different vibe.
Right. But like, if honestly, the only thing I want, because everyone, I get a lot of messages. I keep fucking saying that. I'm acting like I like get like 100 a day. There's like five sitting in my, but like I get
they're
people,
stacking up in the clout house.
Just, yeah, we just got a clout house. Like, yeah, that's the empty room I'm in now. It's just the fan letters. But I just get a lot of people that'll be like, thank you so much. I had no idea about non-binary people. And I think also that non-binary people are not like cold-hearted, like, you know, just like triggered snowflakes that can't make jokes and like can't, you know, live your life as like normal yeah. people. Like, they don't say yeah. this, but I assume because I at one point in my life thought that that's what non-binary people were fake, that non-binary people were overdramatic. This was literally like 5 years ago, and then meeting amazing non-binary people and slowly discovering that that is who I am.
And just wanting that to be affirmed. Just so many people I know who once they realize that they're non-binary and they come out, they come out and people are like, oh, why are you making such a big deal about it? It's like, well, they're not really making a big deal. They just want that to be affirmed and not have to feel like they're being doubted or questioned. And they're so happy in this realization and feel kind of like this freedom of like, oh yeah, I'm no longer have to like cringe every time somebody calls me lady.
Right. Right.
You know?
Right. But did any of us like lady, you know, do any of us like the word lady?
No.
And lady 2020.
I have a story. I'm going to fess up here right now.
You love it?
Not that I love it, and I don't use it. You know, it's more to me kind of a funny word, like, all right, ladies, let's get in the car, you know?
Right.
It's not something that I'm not
hanging. It's like, let's go, lesbians. It's
yeah,
like,
I'm not yeah. hanging around a lot of fun lady-like people, and I, in fact, use it more for non-lady-like women, I guess, but
sure.
I don't use the word that often. And I was doing this comedy festival, and there was a comic there who I didn't realize was non-binary. And they had to go on stage before I did, and I was in line for the bathroom, and they were behind me. So I said, you can go first. And they said, oh, really? Okay, thanks. So then when the person came out of the bathroom, I made this gesture and said, m'lady. I've never said it in my life. Never said it in my life.
Of course.
And then they turned and they turned and glared at me and said, I'm not a lady. And then went into their comedy act and was like, I'm non-binary. I don't make a big deal. You know, people still call me she. Just don't fucking call me lady. And I died.
Oh,
I felt
no.
like the biggest piece of shit.
Oh, no.
but then at the same time, I didn't want to be one of those people who makes such a big deal that it gets even more awkward where you're like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry,
right.
I'm sorry. You know,
right.
I was just like, okay, just moving forward.
Yeah.
I will use the proper terms.
Yes.
To this day, it haunts me.
Uh-huh.
And every time I interact with this person, I'm just like, I hope they don't hate me.
But like, to be honest, I have periods like that. It happens to me. I will misgender someone at least, LOL, once a month. I'm like, yeah, once a month I'll misgender. But I mean, like, it happens a lot and it haunts me too. Like, it's like,
yeah.
But to be honest, like, yes, you had the right inclination to not make a big deal out of it because, like, most people might not know this. Getting misgendered sucks, but the apology afterward is also pretty fucking shitty. So, like,
yeah,
it's it's not like you want to like sit around for like 5 minutes afterwards, just like basically telling a cis person like it's okay, like
right? Yeah, right.
It's really okay. Like, if you got my name wrong, if, like, which people do, imagine being non-binary and also have a very confusing name. Nothing gets right at all. But, like, when people call me Gara, they'll be like, Gara, Gara. And they'll call me Gara, and they'll be like, oh, sorry, Gara. And then they'll be like, call me she, her, and they'll be like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. It's like, how are these two any different? Like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same way I feel when somebody, you know, if I start working a new job and somebody sees I'm married and they're like, oh, what does your husband do? I'm like, oh, it's actually my wife. And then, I am so sorry. Oh, God, I'm such an idiot. I'm like, that's totally fine. You know, normal thing to do still in society.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at you.
Yeah.
But then they're like, oh, I really just ate shit there. I'm like, it's fine. Just,
yeah,
let's move on, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Allie, I had to drop her off to get a surgery last week, and I had to wait outside because she was on a lot of drugs. This is my girlfriend.
Oh, God.
And sorry.
This is my cat.
Yeah, I was like,
they were like,
dog?
Do you have someone with her? don't get me started, my cat. I think I talk about my cat too much on this podcast, but when I dropped Allie off, I had to go wait outside. And then when they were done with her, they're like, who do you have? So your boyfriend's outside. And she was like, oh no, it's my girlfriend. And they were like, and what's his name? And they're like, she was like, her name is Melody. And then she couldn't understand it was like a weird interaction as she was walking away. She saw that they were studying, to be a pastor. So that'll, that's
it.
When someone doesn't want to learn. But I truly do think if we can learn Puff Daddy to P Diddy to Sean Combs.
Yes,
I really think we can do the pronouns thing. I truly do.
Absolutely. If we can go from Snoop Dogg to Snoop Lion back to Snoop Dogg, we should be able to do pronouns.
I know we're capable as a culture.
And we should be just as forgiving for people who are just figuring it out and going through different identities, whether it's gender or sexuality, or I don't know what you call it, just like relational, like if you're poly or monogamous or whatever. What's the word for that, relationship style? Or
I thought it was relationship style. I really don't know. I am also open in an open relationship. Yeah, relationship the remix.
I do have an important question about being non-binary. And is there an unwritten rule that all non-binary folks must support Bernie Sanders? Like,
this is so funny.
If somebody said that they were non-binary, but they were really, really all in for Warren, are they a fraud?
Totally. For sure, okay. For sure. Yeah. No, we all got together at the non-binary conference that I go to every month to renew my non-binary card. It's a monthly thing. It's actually kind of. You know, it's a little bit hard to do that. But no, yeah, we all have to be hardcore for Bernie Sanders. So, yeah.
Yes, take the Bernard Sanders non-binary pledge. Yeah.
I'm glad you brought this up because I'm just waiting for the email we're going to get that's just like, I am a Trump-supporting, non-binary,
free
queer.
Right.
Because we've been getting, weirdly, since we started talking about the election, we're getting MAGA lesbians writing in.
Really?
Now I'm just like, anything's possible. God. We're gonna get like Trumper NB writing in soon.
Well,
what a world.
Well, listen to We're Having Gay Sex, because I'm certain that'll be right up your guys' alley. So you would love that. Wow, that's wild.
Have you ever come across a straight person who identifies as NB?
So actually, we talked about this on the podcast with Jess Tom. I think you guys have had Jess on.
Yeah,
this podcast.
Jess was like the fourth guest, fourth or fifth on, yeah.
Whoa, yeah, on We're Having Gay Sex as well. I also legally can't talk about being non-binary without mentioning Jess Tom, just because... they are
really
the king.
On the ground level.
They've been, yeah, really, really hundreds of years ago.
The first non-binary person I knew.
I think they were the first non-binary person ever. Thank you. Thank you, Jess Tom, for paving the way. But we talked about that on Jess Tom's episode of We're Having Gay Sex. And I think that, honestly, being non-binary, you... don't identify on a gender spectrum, so I feel like whoever you're dating, it kind of, if you want to identify as straight and non-binary, live your bliss. That's you. Like, a label's a label. You can have whatever label you want. But I think the reason why we don't see a lot of that is because non-binary is fake. No. What if by the ending I was like, it's all made up?
To confuse Dottie.
And I let you guys in. You just got punked. No, I think the reason is because which is kind of why I identify.
It's a contradiction, I guess, to be straight.
Totally. Yeah. Well, yeah, because you don't identify on a gender spectrum. So what gender is going to be your same gender, if you understand what I'm saying? Like, it just doesn't really work that way. But that's, like, kind of more or less of why I identify as a dyke, which I think, being on Dyking Out, I just have to mention, at least. Because I get a lot of people who message me and say, you cannot say that word. You cannot identify as a dyke. Yeah. And that's been, like, the most hate crap that I've gotten. But
I think a lot of our listeners seem surprised at how maybe flexible we are with labels.
I'm a bi-pan dyke.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm allowed on.
Hell yeah. It's, are you allowed? Carolyn.
As the inflexible binary.
I waited. Square. I didn't come out until she already asked me to be a co-host.
Yeah, you're like, just so you know.
You just assumed because I have a girlfriend. Yeah.
And she's like, no.
I waited till I got in.
But yeah, I think a lot of people... I think there's a big group of people that would say that I cannot identify as that. And to those people, I would say I don't have to explain myself, which is what I do not have to explain myself. But I think a lot of, like, saying that toward people like me is because you feel like I'm encroaching on your identity, which is unfortunate. Because I think if we were more inclusive, we could be a bigger, stronger dyke group and then finally overthrow the government, which is why Bernie Sanders asks us to vote for Bernie 2024.
God help us. God just help us.
Yeah.
Sorry.
What's the neutral term for God?
Gord.
Yeah, that's true. I know. I just gendered God, as is my right. God is Alanis Morissette in the movie Dogma, and you can't convince me otherwise.
Yeah, that's it. But yeah, I would say to anyone that thinks that or says that about non-binary dykes or even bisexual, pansexual dykes, stop.
Right.
Don't please do stop. That because I had an upbringing that was, as you would qualify, a dyke upbringing. I've been called that word in a derogatory sense. And also, if I can't be a dyke and I can't be gay, where do I go?
Right.
Tell me where a little twink like me belongs, because whenever I'm with women and, having sex with women and being with women. Can I be a dyke? And then
dyking
when I come
out with
home,
women, yeah.
Yeah, dyking out with only women. That's it. But like when I come home and take off my little dyke suit and like my, you know, little dyke mask, do I just become straight? Am yeah. I a straight person? Maybe. No, I'm saying no, I'm not. Please stop doing that.
I think that a lot of the, I guess, controversy, I don't know. It just seems like that some people really get a bug up their ass that they think that people's labels encroach on other labels or that they're somehow impacted or affected negatively or like they're a victim of someone else's label when the reality is you're not.
Right.
That's it. That's
yeah.
Like, I think it's as simple as that. I think that if trans men, trans women, trans non-binary folks want to identify as dyke and that's how they identify, they can. And that doesn't hurt anybody else who identifies as dyke in any way. There's just like, there's no real reason to be upset
right.
about that. And anybody right. who is upset about that, I think needs to do some journaling or something and figure out what the real reason
yeah, right.
is that right. that's bothering them about it. Just like some people who, and I hear this more from cis straight people who are just confused about everything the queer community does anyway, but with non-binary people yeah. who are assigned female at birth, they're like, oh, you don't like being a woman? That's anti-woman to be. I'm like, it's not.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's always a fun one. I have family members who are like very against who I am. And it's funny to see the different like angles that they come at you with, I guess, the end goal to have you sit there and be like, you're right, I'm not. Which just like cracks me up that they think they could ever
yeah.
achieve that. I'm this way, whether you like it or not. And that is a pop song that I'm writing called I'm This Way Whether You Like It Or Not. So you can find that on Spotify.
That might be our new theme song. It's
yeah.
What do you think is the biggest misconception about being non-binary?
We are going to freak the fuck out at you, which is why my boyfriend and I do this very funny bit, which is wherever I'm misgendered, I lash out like a real housewife and like throw a drink, and he goes, please, please, like they're freaking out. Or I'll like go Hulkamania on people and act like I'm going to like turn into the Hulk. Which I think is just fun for cis people to be able to like click in their brain, like, oh, I guess that's what I thought they were gonna do. And now they're making fun of me for it.
I love that.
So, yeah.
Many people know yeah. that this is rare for me, but I do think that your boyfriend is super cool.
Thank you.
I know I've expressed this to you before, but Gara's boyfriend, who I know very well through his online presence on Gara's Instagram.
That's the only place he exists, is on my Instagram.
Yes. And
yeah,
he's great.
Yeah, he like, is great.
Who is this he is cool great. Dude? More of these.
Man, I was wondering the same thing. Yeah. And he's like ally number one with like non-binary people.
Yeah.
Like finding a cis man who's like could like throw down in a bar for someone like misgendering you is like, that's pretty hard to find. And also, Carolyn, your dyke card was taken away for that.
I know. I was going to make a joke
boyfriend.
Before that was like, you can call yourself a dyke as long as you hate men at your core.
Right, right.
That's the first
tenet. And let me tell
of,
you, still do.
Right, right. See?
Yeah. And to our listeners, I think it comes down to you can call yourself a dyke if you sign up for our Patreon.
Patreon.com/dyking.
Oh, smart.
That was perfect. Yes. That was perfect.
Yeah. If you want to feel better about it, maybe we should make actual cards that we send out with my Sally Ride stamps.
I do think it's funny that, like, you guys are like the titular, it's not the word I'm looking for, titular, but like, yeah, you are the Dyke Podcast. Like, you are dyking out. And so to come on Dyking Out and be like, I'm a dyke, guys.
Do you feel affirmed?
No matter what. Oh, I feel mega affirmed. Even if you guys are going to hang up this call and be like, but Gary's not a dyke, right? And you'll be like, no, no, we're not actually airing this.
You're such a dyke. And I love that it took the Dyke March for you to feel like mobilized in your journey to non-binary. Yeah. Like, everyone who's ever been at the Dyke March knows you feel powerful at that. It's crazy. Yes, it's totally. A really crazy good energy.
Totally. It is good energy. And also, so funny for any, I'm still speaking to these, like, I don't know, three people that would be like, stop calling yourself a dyke. Or maybe you're not even on here. I don't know. I'm judging your guys' listening base before I even meet them. But for anyone that does think that, go to the Dyke March when everything is, mm-hmm, you know, able to be a thing again.
Right, right.
And see how many different
truly
kinds of dykes there are. So many. It's like a Dr. Seuss book. It's just like, there's so many.
Femmes, people, more mask presenting, a lot of top surgery scars, a lot of trans dykes. It's so great.
Yeah, so many trans dykes. Yeah, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, I think anybody who has a problem with the way that we use the word dyke and allow people to
allow
people. We're so nice.
No, they allow me. Allowing other people. Like, how could you allow Gara? Right.
No, but the way that we are, you know, more inclusive, I guess, use of the word dyke, anyone with a problem with that would have stopped listening a while ago. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially when I came out.
Exactly.
On the pod.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, we actually, I don't think we've ever gotten an email with anybody being upset about that. If anything, we get emails about people being glad that we're inclusive, even with the term lesbian, which some people will really gatekeep. And we're like, hey, if that's the word that's right for you, go with it. Scissor away. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I love gatekeepers.
Yeah. Is it because they have a lot of keys?
Ring of keys.
Yeah. So many of these, like, you guys and your lesbian references. Yeah. Gatekeepers just got so many keys. Yeah.
Well, I think we pretty much talked about everything there is to be talked about within the non-binary identity.
Yeah, that's
it. We covered it.
All of it.
Nobody's confused. Nobody's offended by me and my dumb questions.
Well, I'm offended.
Okay.
But, but that's fine. No, I'm not offended. Just
you're offended
because
you're a Bernie Sanders supporter. No, I'm just
me
kidding.
Too.
I also like Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, just to be clear.
Right.
Yeah, I just want to make it clear I wasn't mocking Bernie Sanders supporters. It was just an observation.
Right. No, in an astute observation as well.
Yeah.
We should probably get to this week's listener question. I'm a construction worker in Southern California, and a coworker of mine has often made homophobic comments at work. I try to let it go because he is one of those guys who thinks he's always right and you can't change his mind, so I don't think it's worth my energy arguing with him. But on multiple occasions, he has used the word fag, and it really affects me emotionally. Understandable. I keep telling myself that I will tell him I find it offensive and don't want him to use that kind of language at work, but I don't want to out myself to a person like that. I'm afraid to go to my shop manager because I'm the only woman and the only queer person where I work. And I'm afraid of being called too sensitive for our line of work. Our HR person is at another location and I cannot get in contact with her without talking to my manager. What should I do? Ugh, that just sent chills. being the only woman, only gay person.
Well,
people are screaming faggot. You got to do something.
Yeah. Well, I think your safety is what's more important in this entire thing. And if you don't feel safe, well, now I'm like, do you feel safe? I don't know. Like, a job is a job, but, like, you don't have to come out to anyone if you don't want to. And if people are saying offensive stuff, I think that, the whole problem with the HR person, that's messed up.
You shouldn't have to tell why. You shouldn't have to tell your manager why you want to talk to HR. That's the whole point of HR, is that you have some sort of confidentiality with them. Right? That's how HR, that's why it's there.
Yeah. I don't know if this is how this person feels, but I wouldn't feel bad for not ever jumping on someone for saying homophobic comments if you don't feel safe. Like, your safety comes first.
I agree with Gara. Your safety comes first. I don't like how much this bothers you, and I know how much it would bother me. And I think that there's a way to bring it up without having to out yourself and just be very matter of fact about it. And just say, hey, can you not use that word? I don't like it. If they say why, be like, none of your business.
Just stop using
that word.
That's something I would do because I'm spineless.
I have a gay nibbling.
At first I was like, oh, you do?
I have a gay nibbling. And
I'm actually just totally spineless and would come up with some
story. Nibbling.
There's got to be a better
right. No, but those types of people are very frustrating. I think the whole worry about being called sensitive is also very frustrating. And I think, like, if honestly, the shallow side of me with these types of people is always like, if they get like mean, like, oh, what are you sensitive? Be like, no, you seem sensitive about it. So that's why I said something. And they're always like,
yeah,
I'm not.
Maybe this is terrible advice, but next time he says that word, be like, it's funny how often you use that word. Is there something you're not telling us? And that will scare him to his core.
Yes.
He will never use that word again.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're top dog.
Yes. Straight up. That's perfect.
Yeah. All right.
Problem solved. Easy for us. Yeah. Yes, please.
Let us know how it goes. But good for you for working in an industry. We know it's not easy to be in an industry where it's dominated by men, and that, you know, you're afraid that anything you do or say is going to affirm their beliefs of why it should be a male-dominated field. I mean, that happens in comedy. If you don't like having the host ask you to give them a blowjob, then, oh, this is why women aren't comics. And you're like, huh?
Yeah.
Please write in and let us know what happened.
Let us know how it went. And we wish you the best. If you have any questions, you can send them to dykingout@gmail.com. Or if you have a specific question, go to Wisio, WISIO.com/dykingout for a more private or detailed answer in video form. Wow. It's the only thing I put on makeup for. Gara, thank you so much for dyking out with us. This has been a joy. Where can people find you on all those social medias?
You can find me on Instagram at Gara. You can also listen to We're Having Gay Sex on, I think Spotify and Apple. I genuinely don't know.
Everywhere and then, but christianmingle.com. You can find that.
Yes. Yes. I am not on Twitter anymore because Twitter's a horrible place. And
bless
you. Also, I am starting a weekly newsletter about gender called N-Baby, and you can subscribe to that. If you follow me on Instagram, that'll come up at some point. Mm. It doesn't exist right now, so it should start in the next month.
We're all about plugging things that we haven't gotten to pulling together just yet. I think that's been our MO.
Yeah, stay tuned for our Zoom show.
Yes.
Love that.
You can find us at Dyking Out and at Dyking Out Pod on TikTok. Doing nothing, as usual. Just sleeping, keeping it warm. You can follow me at TGI Carolyn, and I just had a photo shoot, so maybe I'll post a picture.
Very nice. You can follow me at Melody Kamali, also on TikTok, mostly Instagram, but I will say I've got 3 whole videos on TikTok, and most of them involve my cat.
And thank you, everybody, for decking out with us. Regardless of how you identify or what labels you use, you are all welcome to dyke out. Even the straights, just don't use the word outside of the context of this podcast, please.
Right. Yeah.
Be kind to one another.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.